Hello.
Sat me. I had a really blast from the past, like, experience on Saturday, right? The where we moved to, like, how long ago was it? Where are we now? Yeah, 4 years ago-ish. We moved here to obviously get my kids in decent schools and all that type of stuff. But the primary school at Leyson's in is quite. It's like probably the primary schools that we were in, like really old buildings, like old school methods and all of that. But it's good, like it's decent and that. And they had a school fair. And how fucking good are tombolas? Remember them back in the day at school fairs? No, what a tombola is.
Oh, tom bowlers.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, well, yeah, that, and you take a ticket out, and it's a five or an oni, and you win a fucking prize, don't you? Well, that's it. He is the most competitive little fucker ever. So, mate, I was about 50 quid out of pocket with it. Come home with about a fucking, no lie, a basket's worth of toys, like shit that is then wine and fucking shit that's never going to be drunk. But it was like, remember going back about 20 years? That's what we used to do, and that was fun back in the day, wasn't it? But it's quite old school, but it was good though. I enjoyed myself. Stacey was like, well, I wasn't going to tell you about the school fair because I didn't think you'd be asked about going. I was more buzzing to be there than Leeson, I'm not going to lie. I fucking loved it. Should have seen us. We're like addicts on the tombola, like gambling addiction between the pair of us. Quality. Right, let's have it. Who's going first?
What's the best Christmas song and film?
We had a film last week, didn't we? Someone asked us that. Oh, the first Christmas song that ever comes to mind, and I can't give Mariah Carey time of day, right? But it's the first one that comes to mind. Do you know what I mean? But the Pogues, I like the Pogues. I can, when you're just in the pub and it's fucking cold outside and the fire's on in the pub and you've weird a beers with the lads, like you get the Pogues on, it's fucking Christmas then, isn't it? So yeah. Pogues is the one for me. And the film, I said last week, it's got to be Home Alone all day long. I know that's really predictable and boring, but it is what it is. People were messaging me last week about how can you not say Die Hard? Listen, I love Die Hard, but is it a Christmas film? Is it?
What does make it a Christmas film?
Know that.
That's the question, isn't it?
Because it's not a Christmas film just because it's got a fucking bit of festivities. Is it like a Christmas
No,
tree?
what doesn't, what doesn't, what doesn't
Well,
home?
a Christmas film is like the theme is Christmas, isn't it? It's fucking snow, it's presents, it's about Christmas, it's about Christmas holidays. That's just about fucking shooting people and having a scrap. Well, it's just, I suppose where I was brought up, that was Christmas, to be fair.
Home Alone's about smacking people in the face with irons and
It's
throwing
still
people down the stairs.
Christmas. Yeah, maybe I'd have to watch it. In fact, I'm going to watch it this week. I'm going to make the kids watch it, actually. Maybe I have to watch it again. Listen, I love Die Hard. Remember when it used to be videos, right? We used to all have videos and you used to buy packs of films that were Die Hard 1, Die Hard. I had it all. Rocky 1 to whatever, Die Hard 1 to whatever.
It's a bit of a Christmas film in regards to like it's
Come
always on.
on.
Christmas. What
Come on.
else? Christmas film.
Have you got the same song and film as what I have? Or would you? Did you pick Die Hard last week?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like that's like the. I feel like
Oh,
men have.
definitely, hands down.
I feel like men have to say Die Hard. It's like, yeah, Die Hard's a Christmas film. I'm just not getting away from
I
Home
used to
Alone.
like all the like Santa films and stuff like that, but I just don't.
Elf's a good Christmas film.
That's a good. Easy watch, isn't it? It's like
Yeah.
have it on in the background and glance at it.
Yeah, the kids have fucking Grinch on all the time. It just annoys me, that one. Just
I
annoys
don't
me.
think I've really watched it all the way through.
Just want to punch the twat. Have you seen that thing at the minute where you can pay for a Grinch to come to your house and fucking jump on your Christmas tree? Have you seen that? Maybe it's just near me. I don't know what it is. So you pay someone to come to your house and they knock on the door, scare the kids, and launch themselves on the Christmas tree. But you can actually pay someone to do it. I'll send you the video in a bit. It's funny as fuck. Next question. How do I make myself stand out in December and not get lost in the noise of fuck it, it's Christmas and December challenges? Is there any more to that question? No.
The things that you'd probably assume you need to be doing, I would say. We've talked about this a lot in the last 3 weeks, but what a lot of people are doing right now is focusing on the what. Like you put there, like December challenges and whatnot, and they have their place and they help people and they work. But going back to why you're doing what you're doing and how you're doing it and how that resonates to your market, is a big thing. And I think that combination of support and relevant, relatable content is exactly where you should be. And I think giving people a place to go, and what I mean by that is getting them to join your mailing list, your lead magnet, whatever it is, you want to be on that person's mind when it comes to January. And that's the be all and end all, I think, in regards to your marketing in December. And by doing that, it means you need to be consistent and frequent, and you need to have conversations with people. You need to reach out, you need to share what you're going through, you need to give relevant content. So it's all the things that you need to be doing consistently anyway. I don't think it needs to be more overcomplicated than that. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a good question because the conflict is probably torn between what you want to put out and what your niche want to hear, or what you think your niche want to hear, your target market want to hear. Listen, I'm probably going to say the same quite a bit today because there's quite a few of these questions similar. I think what's important is that you stick to your process of your content process, whatever that is. And just, yes, there might be seasonal changes to it, but if, say, for argument's sake, right, you have content pillars of like you talk about yourself a little bit. So there's a person element, there is a barrier element that you're tackling, a pain point, you're giving an insight into the service, like there's a conflicting, controversy-based post that you put out and stuff like that. Whatever your process and principles of putting out content, keep it the same. Don't change it. Don't deviate away from it, especially if it's working. So in my opinion, how to make yourself stand out in December is A, make sure that you're listening and reading what your clients are putting. Maybe put a little bit of a mini survey into your client group of the questions that you have in regards to their conflicts, their challenges, their behaviors and habits that might change and alter. Get some feedback from them that'll start to then dictate what you put out, because I think that'll just reassure you in regards to the specifics of what you're putting out are the right things. So I would do as much of that as you possibly can to just reassure yourself that A, what you're putting out is right, and B, it's still going alongside the trending time of year. So I think that's all you can do. I think sometimes we can overthink this stuff. And I know that's a shitty throwaway statement, but we get to this time of year and think, okay, I don't want to be lost in the noise. I don't want to. Maybe you don't want to sound like it's you saying, fuck it, it's Christmas all of the time and all of that type of stuff. But for me, it's finding a balance, and the balance is in the principles of the content that you've got already. It shouldn't change too much, in my opinion. And I think if you're asking yourself about being lost in the noise of December challenges and stuff, just make sure that whatever you're putting out, the lead magnet and so on, is specific to the people who are in your demographic, that what they want and need. Because if it is, you won't go far wrong. So the only thing I'd add, waffled, but Next
Do
question.
you have any New Year's resolutions yet, or anything you want to achieve in 2024?
I haven't done a bit of soul searching yet on this, if I'm dead honest, and I need to. I had all intentions to use the conference, and I started that in the values bit that Nick delivered, but I haven't carried it on yet. So I will be getting to this pretty soon. I think the only thing that sticks out to give you an answer, so it's not as boring, is that These little things, like, for example, I want to take my nephews and nieces and my kids away a little bit more next year than I did this year, just because we've been building and the changes that we've gone through. So like the first one, let's hope none of them listen to this. I'm sure they won't, because I fucking bore them enough anyway. But the first one is I'm taking all the lads in the family away to Madrid in February to watch Real Madrid at the Bernabeu. That's a big goal of mine. And there's like five or six of them, plus my dad and all of that. So that was a big thing of mine, because it's a big thing for the lads in the family. So that's big for me. And I think the only other things that kind of stand out really are that cliche holiday-based stuff at the minute. Nothing drastic. I think the biggest things this year is how, as boring as this may sound for other people, is how can we impact more people within the academy? Because then, as a byproduct of that, it supports us to give the lives. As a byproduct of it, give us back life-wise what we want, like personally. So I think massive impact this year, maybe potentially giving you an insight into what we're planning, is bringing in another coach/mentor to support us as well. So that's a big goal of ours. I need to do some bit of soul searching on that one, if I'm dead honest. But they're the only immediate things that come to mind at the minute. Nick, anything from you?
Travel more, 1,000,000%. Definitely on the card to travel more next year. Other goals are compete and do different challenges next year, definitely. We just signed up for this one in June where it's like a mix of kind of CrossFit but outdoorsy stuff. So like there's CrossFit workouts, but there's like paddle boarding and bowl, like all sorts of random stuff, and that's a whole weekend. So just different stuff that is gonna challenge me differently. And absolutely, like, grow the academy in different ways. So that's definitely on the pad at the top of the list, is now that we've gone through this year of building and developing and stuff, which we'll continue to do. But I think, yeah, definitely next year is about, like Ant said, another mentoring and impacting the industry, but in a way that not many mentors or similar businesses are doing.
Yeah. Making sure you feel seen, heard, and understood, and not just basically can't connect with the people that you buy the fucking mentorship off. But anyway, don't get me started, Nick.
I won't get you started, Ant.
Is it my question? I'm lost. Yeah. How to find the right balance between keeping our copy short enough to account for a short attention span and long enough to deliver value and explain the benefits of working with us? Good question, that is.
Having different options of that long form content is the first thing. So, and making sure you're pointing people in the direction of that. So I think it's maybe using all the tools that we kind of understand are available to us right now. And if we're looking at, I would look at the spectrum of things that you've got. Like, obviously we've got reels and stories and posts and carousels, and all perform differently and have a different objective behind it. Like, your carousels might be planned to be more savable content. Your reels might be more reach, that are pointing people to read the caption, which might then lead on to your longer form content, like an email list or a podcast episode or a lead magnet. So I think if you're planning your content for a month and you've got a good balance of those things available to people and you're working on consistently, is there a nice ratio? I couldn't sit here and say, right, you've got to do 20% of reels and it's got to be 30% of that. I think if your objective is to reach more people outside of your current audience, then reels would probably be something you'd want a bit more consistent. If you're wanting more value to give your current audience, then I'd be maybe having a little bit of higher percentage on more savable content, more problem-solving content that are leading on to then taking those people off Instagram and getting them on an email list or a lead magnet or a podcast. So, yeah, I think if you have a good balance of those things, you're not far off the mark. But then it also depends on what your actual objective is on different times and different periods of the business. So I think if you're doing all those things, I think you're not far wrong. Anything you'd add? How is there now only 2 weeks until Christmas?
Okay. Good question. I can obviously know who that is. Question though, it is a bit mind-blowing, to be fair.
If you had to prioritize 3 to 5 sections of the business dashboard, which ones do you suggest? Good question.
Okay, so the first one I would say the P&L, as boring as that is, it sets the tone for the whole business in regards to understanding accurately the facts behind revenue and expenses. The second one, I would say, goal setting the what. So the tab that goes through the high level planning of your business to achieve your goals in regards to what you're doing for sales and marketing, what you're doing for your client engagement, what you're doing for service and products. So I would say that is number two. Number three, time management. So planning your time management before putting it into your Google Calendar and stuff, just to help you see the return on investment of a few things. I've done this with quite a few people recently where they're trying to work out a little bit more time for on business and therefore the opportunities that they have so they don't reach a bottleneck of their time. So that is dead important. I'm going to carry on because I think the dashboard's class. So there's definitely five places that I can pick, but it's just which to prioritize. I'll go content planner because it gives you structure and routine. And it's what most people struggle with. And then my last one, I'll go with the overall marketing planner, because A, it gives you the structure and routine to filter into your content planner, but also helps you track your metrics accurately. The one that was borderline for me that deserves to be in the five is the accountability tracker, to keep on track with your client engagement and keeping them adherent and accountable. But yeah, too many to pick, too many good things on that dashboard to pick from. Anything that I've missed that you would have picked?
No, I think it, like, to be fair, like 3 to 5 sections of the platform, like, you know what, the only thing I'd add to that is how you use it, which is, number one, having it open every day, so not closing it particularly. And the reason why I'd say that is because from a tracking sense, that is one thing I'd massively say. So the things you mentioned there, but from the actual lead tracker, I think, is big for a lot of the guys that obviously are doing lead magnets and launches and campaigns, to actually be able to track specifically those leads and what they do and where they go and how they convert. Using that is going to be a massive eye opener for everybody. I think I'm going to just pick some features out that are new. The other one would be the client retention tracker. So giving you feedback on the churn and the retention rates of your clients, I think, is a massive one that will really help. And yeah, I think those two, just to add in, like what you already pointed out, on that note.
What are your top tips for helping clients develop self-awareness? Mint question.
Getting great at asking questions and listening. So I think with that, I think the first thing is upskilling yourself and researching and learning around one, two, three different areas. One, motivational interviewing, which you can find on the platform. Two is self-determination theory, which again, it's on the platform. Three is asking open questions, reflecting on, paraphrasing back the answers from clients, and then listening and responding accordingly, but listening to understand instead of listening to just respond. Those are the three biggest tips I would say, which are covered in those areas I mentioned. And the only other tip that I think is completely underutilized from everyone is the fact that when you have conversations with clients, whether that's a check-in feedback, whether that's a review, whether that's a consultation, is make sure that sometimes you record those conversations so you can listen back to them, so you can understand how you come across and the questions you ask and the reactions you get to help you improve. That is the single biggest thing I think that you can do to improve those things. Because otherwise you can't recall and you can't objectively and neutrally look at that situation and try and tear it apart a little bit. But listening back to things, whenever people have done that, it's been like quite big aha moments, hasn't there?
Yeah, the only other thing that I would add to that is just having your own level of self-awareness, because that helps with your clients as well. So just being aware of kind of what type of personality and communication style you have, because as soon as you have an understanding a little bit more and are self-aware of how you communicate or how you come across, it makes it a little bit easier to support clients, create a little bit more self-awareness. It's the only thing I'd add to what you said there, Nicholas. And there's no more questions, is there?
No, I don't think so.
No. Sweet. Happy days. Happy days.
Right. Good one, everyone.
See you in a bit.
Bye.